بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last time we met, we were discussing and pondering upon chapter 80, Surah Abasa. And Allah Azza wa Jal is opening the eyes of the disbelievers, doomed they may be, for not looking at what is obvious. So many clear evidences. Look in your own selves. What were you created from? From a drop of semen. And then it was Allah Azza wa Jal who got you out of your mother's wombs and showed you and given you the choices to choose from, whether to believe or to disbelieve. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says that He caused him to die and puts him in his grave. After all of this long life, so it seemed, Allah Azza wa Jal would make you die and then He would put you in your grave. And this is a sign that Allah Azza wa Jal has honored us as human beings, that they must be buried and they must be covered so that others would not look at him as he decays and becomes rotten. All of these are signs from Allah Azza wa Jal, eye-openers to those who disbelieve, especially those who are atheists, who claim that there is no God, there is no creator. Everything was a result of evolution. And as Muslims, anyone who says that evolution is possible, anyone who says that the human beings evolved from other creatures, he is a kafir. If he has a PhD, if he is someone who leads prayer or knows Quran by heart and he knows many books, he translated any stuff to English or to any other language, he remains a kafir. Because he is belying, he is falsifying the Quran that tells us that the humans were created from Adam and Eve. That is it. End of story. Nothing else. So there is no evolution for the human race. And these atheists, they don't think correctly. They have a problem upstairs. They say that the humans evolved from apes. And all the other creatures have evolved. That's why we have birds and animals. And subhanAllah, where are you getting this from? These are the creations of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, when He wills it, He would modify some of His creation, but not that it evolves by itself. And that is why we don't have apes, semi-human beings, and human beings. We have apes and we have human beings. I haven't heard in the past few thousand years that there was an ape who turned into a human being. Apes were always apes. Monkeys were always monkeys. Even the atheists of them, they're still monkeys. But to say that evolution is something that is a must and it is a scientific theory and you have countries backing it up, this shows how crazy people are. Nothing happens by itself. It has to be made and created by Allah the Almighty. Yet these disbelievers need this eye-opener. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. Cursed and doomed he may be. This disbeliever, how ungrateful he is. And then Allah Azza wa Jal tells us after this in Ayah 22 and 23, ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَهُ. Then, when it is His will, Allah's will, after He kills that individual and He makes him in His grave, Allah will resurrect him again. Verse 23, nay, Allah did not will what He had ordered yet. So, after he dies, Allah would resurrect him. And the disbelievers wondered, objected. Okay, we haven't seen anyone being resurrected yet. Ha ha, this means that it's not true. This is entirely untrue. You don't see anyone resurrected because Allah Azza wa Jal did not will it to happen yet. And this is ayah 23. كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقُضِ مَا أَمَرَ. Only when Allah wills it that the people will be resurrected. And what's the point? If someone is resurrected in front of you immediately now, then definitely you will not have any reason to disbelieve. If Allah willed it, everyone would be a believer. But Allah Azza wa Jalla had created us to test us, whether we make the right choice or we become ungrateful and do not show our gratitude to Him and decide to disbelieve. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us, don't be in haste. In other verses, the disbelievers say, bring it on. Day of resurrection, bring it on. Where is it? We want it now. Allah is telling them, do not be in haste. It's inevitable and it's coming. When it comes, you will regret. Now you are alive. You have the choice to choose. Allah is giving you enough time to make a decision. Look at you. Since when you've been considering to become a Muslim? 5 years? 10 years? What happened to you? Every time you say, soon, tomorrow, next week, next month, I have an appointment with the Islamic Center. And you are postponing it, delaying it, and at the end, you will die, you will be buried in your grave, and when you are resurrected, you are going to regret that. You have enough time now to make a choice. Allah is saying, ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ. When Allah wills it, He will resurrect you. And when the day of resurrection is there, it's the day of regret to those who did not do well and did not comply with what Allah Azza wa Jalla had ordered them to do. And to those who deny the fact of resurrection, to those who object and say, it is not logical. How can these crumbled bones and decomposed bodies, how can they become flesh and blood once again, filled with life? This is not possible. To them, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Then let man look at his food. Again, the word al-insan was repeated. If you remember, Allah said earlier, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. May he be doomed and cursed, this insan, this human being. And we said, if you recall, that the majority of usages of the word al-insan refers to the disbeliever. So here, Allah Azza wa Jal is giving another lesson. He's teaching those atheists, those disbelievers, another lesson. Now, you are doubting that there is a creator. You're doubting that Allah created you, humans, and ordered you to do things. And you're doubting that there would be a resurrection. Well, listen, and listen carefully. Allah says, the Almighty, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Then let man look at his food. So, one would say, come on, what's so special with our food? Look at it. It is from your own doing. People say, yeah, we planted it, we grew it, and we harvested it. Well, think again. Go to a farmer and ask him about it. What would the farmer say? Even a disbelieving farmer would say the same thing. I plow, I throw the seeds, I irrigate the land, and it's in his hands. I may get crops, and I may not. Maybe the temperature is not good enough. Maybe there is not enough rain. Maybe there is too much rain. So it's not me doing it. It is Allah Azza wa Jal. I do a lot of hard work, but it is in His hands. So Allah says, أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا. It is we who pour forth water in abundance, and we split the earth in cracks. So the rain, who makes it fall? Who controls it? In what proportion it comes in? It's only Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't be deceived. Don't think that man has any hand in it. Totally in the hands of Allah the Almighty. And this is clear when you look around you. Some countries, they have floods. Others, they have drought. Why Allah is doing this? you have no right in asking what Allah does and what Allah does not. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He has the control of everything. He does what he pleases. And all what he does is done with his wisdom. And it's put in its right place. It can be a punishment. It can be a test. But no one has the right to ask, if I take this laptop and I break it into pieces, no one has the right to say, why did you do this? It's mine. I can do whatever I want with it. Of course, Islamically, this is not acceptable because it is yours, but you're not entitled to burn your money or to waste it. You're still held accountable in this life, and definitely you'll be held accountable on the day of judgment. But again, to Allah Azza wa Jal, no one has the right to say why. Because he said about himself, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. He's not questioned or held accountable to what he does, while they, the others, are. So, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who pours water in abundance. And it is Allah Azza wa Jal that grows what we eat and consume, that grows all what we see from these plants. We have a short break. Stay tuned and we will be right back, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So the rain comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is for sure. And this is mentioned at the end of Surah Luqman. It is Allah who pours down the rain. No one else can do this. And Allah Azza wa Jal has appointed angel Mika'il, peace be upon him, to be responsible for such rainfall and for growing the plants. And that is why Allah says, ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّى, that we split the earth in cracks. Why? So that the plants would come out. And subhanallah, if you reject the idea of resurrection, take a look at how plants grow. Take a look at these forests, at these jungles, at these gardens, at these farms. The water is from Allah, and the water is water. The earth is earth, yet the seeds you throw in, you get a tree, a second, a third, different plantations. You look at them, subhanallah, the water is the same, but this fruit is sour, and this one is sweet. This is yellow, this is green, this is red. So many different colors, so many different tastes. How could that be? And they say, it's a coincidence. It's Mother Nature. Who's Mother Nature? And who's Father Nature? Where did you get this from? This is all nonsense. Everything is pointing to Allah the Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. It displays and portrays his wisdom, his knowledge, his ability that is unlimited, his power, his strength, being the provider, being the sustainer, being the creator of everything you see and everything you don't see. It is Allah the Almighty. Everything points out to that direction. Allah made the earth to crack so that you can get these plants and these trees. Allah says, فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا. What happened when the water falls down and the earth is cracked? Allah says, and we cause therein the grain to grow. Grain, things we take for granted, barley, wheat, corn, etc. That's all. Allah says, وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا, and grapes and clover plants. That is green fodder for the cattle. So Allah Azza wa Jal has these fruits for us. And on the top of the list is the grapes that people love and enjoy more. And also the other plants that the cattle may use. Allah says, وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا, and olives and date palms. And I don't know how important these plants are, but definitely Allah has mentioned so many times the grapes, the olives in the Quran, and it was also mentioned about the figs, etc. And mentioning them definitely means that there is something behind that. These specific fruits and plants. But this requires someone who is specialized in this field to study it. And whether he gets the necessary and needed information that would open our eyes or not, whether he succeeds or fails, this has nothing to do with our belief and conviction in the Quran. We believe in it. But we believe also that there has to be something, there has to be a secret. Maybe we know it now, maybe we'll know it in the future. Even if we don't know it, we believe in this beautiful book of Allah, the Almighty. So, olives and date palms, they come from the same source where the grapes came. And Allah says, وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبَى, and gardens dense with many trees. And when you look, if you travel, of course, if you come to Saudi Arabia, you will not find such gardens because it's a desert area. All what you find would be probably palm trees. But if you go to certain countries, such as Malaysia or Indonesia, and you see the gardens there, and you see the beautiful scenery, and how their gardens and the trees are so thick that you cannot believe what you see, this is nothing compared to what Allah has prepared for you. But where did all of this come from? Allah created it. Allah poured the water. Allah made the earth to crack. Allah made all of this to grow. And also, in addition to this, Allah says, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا, and fruits and أَبَّا. And the fruits we know, different kinds of fruits. And أَبَّا, it is what the cattle feed upon. So the food of the cattle is there. It's also being grown and harvested in the same fashion through the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, with water pouring from the sky and with cracks in the earth so that it would grow up. All of this so that you who do not believe, all of this is for you who are ungrateful and deny Allah's favors and blessings upon you and claim that there is no creator. Allah has created all of this for you, mata'an lakum wa li'an'amikum, to be a provision and a benefit for you and your cattle. Subhanallah. Allah has made all of this for us. And without our cattle, we could not live. We need our cattle. We need these vegetables and fruit. Allah Azza wa Jal had made all of this for us to benefit from. And indeed, there would be a reminder to whom Allah Azza wa Jal opened his heart to remember and to accept. But those whom Allah has sealed their heart, no matter what we say, no matter how many times we remind them, they will always still be blinded by the light. Reverts to Islam, when they are called to Islam before they accept it, they only see the negative things. No, Islam is not a good religion. It has this, it has that, it has this, it has that. How many items? 4, 5? That's it? That's what you dislike about Islam? Sit down and I'll explain it to you. However, once they accept Islam, they say, Subhanallah, were we fools? Where our minds had been all this time? How didn't we see the truth so clearly? Because Allah has unveiled their hearts, and now they can see with their hearts rather than their eyes. When they disbelieve, the blindness is on the heart, not on the eyes. When they believe, they can see both with their eyes and with their hearts. So Allah Azza wa Jal is opening the eyes of these disbelievers, ungrateful disbelievers. Look around you, and you will believe that there will be a day of resurrection. Because he who makes this dead land alive with the fruit and vegetables, with the trees and grapes and olives, he is the one who can resurrect you from the same earth. And from these ayahs that we have pondered upon, we can benefit by the following points. 1, these ayahs show us the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, His power, His ability, His wisdom, which by default leads us to believing in Allah Azza wa Jal, in His verses and in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, we learn from this set of ayat that through the work we can relate to the Creator. If I see a product, if I see a beautiful car, and I test drive it, and I try to look into it, and I find that it's a perfect car, it's a very good car, I definitely would point to the factory or to the manufacturer by saying that he knows what he's doing. If you look at Allah's creation, this gives you a glimpse of the greatness of Allah, of the perfection of Allah, of the knowledge and ability and power of Allah the Almighty. And that is why it is astonishing. It is so strange how a disbeliever would disbelieve in the existence of Allah and would not believe in Islam. All of this is in front of you for you to relate to. And finally, no matter what you do, no matter how many years you pray or fast, no matter what you offer to Allah Azza wa Jal in forms of worship, you will still be short of showing your gratitude and gratefulness to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Allah's favors and blessings are overwhelming. They're far, far greater than anything that crosses our minds. So the more you do, the better it is for you. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.